As promised, we are going to back up one book to the book of Lamentations. We studied Jeremiah for two Sundays. We studied Ezekiel for two Sundays. If you open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 1, it's my honor and privilege to take you through the book of Lamentations today. What if another country conquered and devastated the United States of America? Imagine the pain of seeing our national monuments bombed and destroyed. Imagine the pain of seeing our children without anything to eat. You watch as an invading army conquers our country, conquers our city. And you watch because they have no respect for Christianity. You watch them destroy this building. You survey the devastation. You come to grips with what has happened. You weep. And as you weep, you are moved to write a poem. That is the book of Lamentations. The people of Jerusalem forsook the Lord and worshipped other gods. Again and again, God sent his prophets to warn the people. They hardened their hearts, and they would not listen. Jeremiah was the final prophet, and he warned the people again and again, if you continue to forsake God, he will send Babylon and destroy this place. Destroy this place, destroy this city, and even desecrate the temple. In 586 BC, that is exactly what happened. Jeremiah sees with his own eyes the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah sees with his own eyes what happens to the temple. And in response, he writes the book of Lamentations. In your notes, Lamentations means to express grief and mourn deeply. To express grief and mourn deeply. That is the book of Lamentations. Will you pray with me, please? Will you take a few moments right now to pray that God would open your heart? Pray that God would soften your heart and pray that God would speak to you powerfully through this amazing book. Would you take a few moments, please, and pray for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, that God would soften their hearts, that God would speak to them powerfully through this beautiful book. Now would you please pray for me, take a few moments and pray for me, that I would deliver the message of Lamentations correctly, accurately, and therefore powerfully. Gracious Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Please edify your church and build us up today with this book. In Jesus' name, amen. Lamentations 1:1. You've got the historical background. Jeremiah sees the Babylonians destroy the city of Jerusalem. He sees the children starving. He sees famine. He sees death. And he writes the book of Lamentations. It's short, just 5 chapters. Lamentations 1:1. In the Bible in front of you or behind me on the screen. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. She weeps bitterly in the night and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. All her majesty has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes have become like deer that have found no pasture, and they have fled without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the adversary and no one helped her. The adversary saw her. They mocked at her ruin. Jerusalem sinned greatly. Therefore, she has become an unclean thing. All who honored her despise her because they've seen her nakedness. Even she herself groans and turns away. Her uncleanliness was in her skirts. She did not consider her future. Therefore, she has fallen astonishingly. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. The first thing I want you to notice is this. The Lord poured out his righteous anger on Jerusalem because of their sin. Because of their sin. Look at verse 18 behind me on the screen or in front of you. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his command. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my pain. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. The Lord poured out his righteous anger on Jerusalem because of their sin. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He has cast from heaven to earth the glory of Israel, and has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up. He has not spared all the inhabitants of Jacob. In his wrath, he has thrown down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. In fierce anger, he has cut off all the strength of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire consuming round about. The Lord poured out his righteous anger on Jerusalem because of their sin. Verse 17. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has accomplished his word, which he commanded from days of old. He has thrown down without sparing. He has caused the enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the might of your adversaries. Number two in your notes, God punishes sin. God punishes sin. Brothers and sisters, have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone? And you get this answer, this very common answer when you're trying to witness to someone and they do not want to trust Christ as Savior. They say, oh, you know what? I tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. You ever heard that? Oh, you know what? Thanks for sharing me that. I'm glad that works for you. I would try it, but I don't think it would help my life out. I'm glad it works for you, but I don't think it would work for me. Have you ever heard anyone say that? That's a very common answer, and it reveals a very common mistake about why you come to Jesus. Number three in your notes, take a look. You don't come to Jesus to take away your problems. You come to Jesus to take away your sins. You don't come to Jesus to take away your problems. You come to Jesus to take away your sins. When someone says, it won't work for me, you say, yes, it will. Jesus' death on the cross will take away your sins if you trust him as Savior. It will work for you. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. God poured out his righteous anger on Jerusalem because of their sin. And something else we see in the book of Lamentations is very tragic and very powerful. And that is this: the spiritual leaders of Jerusalem failed the people. The spiritual leaders failed the people. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions. They have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles. Israel's spiritual leaders did not shine God's light on the sin of the people. This is a very important part of being a spiritual leader. Look at your notes. Number four, you should be able to count on your spiritual leaders to help you see your sin. You should be able to count on your spiritual leaders to help you see your sin. Israel's spiritual leaders failed to do that. When they saw the people sinning, they just said, everything's fine. You will not be given over to the king of Babylon. It's all good. No problem. Huge failure on the part of the leaders. You should be able to count on your spiritual leaders to help them help you see your sin. You know, when you're driving, the people that make the streets have provided road signs to warn you about oncoming danger. You've seen them. There's a curve, and it'll be an arrow, and it says, you know, 25 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour. It warns you that if you take that corner too fast, it's dangerous. Sometimes there'll be signs where, you know, uphill or downhill or zigzag or whatever. There's all kinds of road signs to warn you about danger. Here's some ones I saw on the internet that you might find interesting. Tom, do you have those? Good luck. That's a great sign. Hey, look at another one. This is my favorite. Take the second exit. Oops, no, I meant the first. You have to go around again. Look, I said I was sorry. It's on the sign. Look at another one. Notice. Thank you for noticing this notice. Your noticed it has been noted. What a waste. Look at this next one. Touching wires causes instant death. $200 fine. Thank you for that. Here's my favorite one. Please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you for that. Road signs are there to warn you about danger. And a good spiritual leader, brothers and sisters, a good elder, a good pastor, his job is to help you be a good Christian. And if we see sin in your life, we point it out because we love you and we're trying to be faithful spiritual leaders. The most loving thing someone can do for me, the most loving thing someone can do for you, is to help you see your sin and support and encourage you as you repent and live for Jesus. The spiritual leader of Israel failed to do that. Please pray for your elders that we will not follow their bad example. My question to you is very simple at this point in my sermon. Are you humble enough to receive good spiritual leadership? We have an obligation, Trinity Baptist, not only to each other, but to the whole world. We have an obligation not only to each other, but to the whole world. Look at Mark 16 behind me on the screen. Oh, I missed that one, Tom. Show me that one. This is my favorite. Dairy Queen, scream until daddy stops. Reminds me of someone who calls me daddy. Anyway, Mark 16:15. Look at this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Trinity Baptist Church, that is a very, very important part of the gospel. Look at the next verse. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That is a very important part of the gospel. Number 5 in your notes. Like the prophets of old, you and I are called to warn people of God's coming wrath. Like the prophets of old, you and I are called to warn people of God's coming wrath. This is an important part of the gospel. Trinity Baptist, have you left this out of your gospel presentation? This is why people don't want to come to Christ, because you haven't shown them the need. If we just say, Christianity is great, it's made my life so much better, you should come. We leave them open to say, you know what, it doesn't work for me. We have to show people that without Jesus, they are condemned. Look at Romans 5:8. Behind me on the screen. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That's the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1, behind me on the screen. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Jeremiah's message to the people of Jerusalem was God is going to pour out his wrath on you. And brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, God will again pour out his righteous anger on the world. We have a message of hope for the people. We have a message of hope. We have a message of warning. Are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to warning the people around you about the coming wrath of God? Lamentations is not all bad news. Lamentations is an incredible book of hope. Would you turn to chapter 3, please, and watch this. Chapter 3. Jeremiah is looking at all the devastation that God's wrath has been poured out. And in the midst of that, he says this, verse 19. Lamentations 3:19. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit down alone and be silent, since God has laid it on him. Let him put his hand in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter. Let him be filled with reproach, for the Lord will not reject forever. If he causes grief, he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. You've heard that verse before. You've heard that verse before. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You've heard that verse before, brothers and sisters. But did you know it's in the middle of the book of Lamentations? Did you know that Jeremiah spoke it after he saw God pour out his wrath on the city of Jerusalem? Did you know that as Jeremiah is looking over the devastation that God has poured out his wrath on the people that he loves, in the midst of seeing that disaster, Jeremiah, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, says, I have hope because the loving kindness of the Lord will never fail. His mercies are great. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is why it is so important that you study the Old Testament. There is gold in this book. Read the book of Lamentations and get all the riches therein. God is faithful. God is faithful. Job knew it in the midst of his suffering. The Apostle John knew it when he was exiled on the island of Patmos. Abraham knew it. Moses knew it. Joshua knew it. David knew it. The Bible is cover to cover with testimonies of suffering people that trusted in the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 1, behind me on the screen. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Trinity Baptist Church, God is faithful. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Look at the next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. God is faithful. Look at 2 Timothy behind me on the screen. It is a trustworthy statement, brothers and sisters. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. God is faithful. Some of you have heard this story before. My dear friend Larry was my youth pastor, one of my youth pastors, when I was a kid. After he was a youth pastor, he moved out of that and started a ministry whereby he leads prayer retreats in the San Diego area. Weekend prayer retreats, they're absolutely amazing and life-changing. I signed up for one of those retreats. And 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the retreat, Larry's son was driving off to college and he got a flat tire on the freeway. He pulled off the side of the freeway, went to change his tire, and while he was changing his tire, a truck hit him and killed him, 19 years old. 3 weeks before the retreat. Julie and I assumed the retreat surely it's canceled. There's no way he's going to do this retreat. But no cancellation notice came. I didn't get any email. No one called me. It was nothing. So in faith, I showed up to the retreat. And others showed up to the retreat too. And there was my dear friend Larry. His 19-year-old son had been hit by a car 3 weeks earlier. And he led the retreat as usual. And he was opening up the retreat, and it was about 20 of us, and he said, I know that all of you know what happened to me 3 weeks ago. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, trying to figure it out, and I can't. I'm here to tell you, I have absolutely no idea why God would allow that to happen. I can find nothing in Scripture. I pray. I have no idea why God would let that happen. But I am 100% sure of this. God loves me. And he is faithful. Change my life in that moment. To watch that guy say that. God loves me. Trinity Baptist Church, God is faithful. And we have an awesome message for the world. God will pour out his wrath on this world someday. It will be final. It will be devastating. It will be horrifying. And that's the message we have. But that's not the whole message. Open up to 2 Peter chapter 3. Join me, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. When they, the mockers, maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by God's word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. It will happen, Trinity Baptist Church. It will happen. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In your notes, number 6. God will pour out his anger on sin, but he would much rather forgive. God will pour out his anger on sin, but he would much rather forgive. And Trinity Baptist Church, as you go out and share the gospel, you declare the wrath of God is coming. But God does not want to pour out his anger on you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to forgive you so badly that he sent his one and only precious dear son to die on the cross so that you could be forgiven. That's what God wants. That's God's will. That's his plan. That's what he wants to do. My question to you is, are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to bringing the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you dedicated to bringing the good news of Jesus Christ? We all know our dear brother, Brian Quiroz, and his wife, Carla. One of our member, two of our member, our family. I will never forget the day that Brian came into my office with Jerry. And Jerry explained the gospel to him. And he trusted Christ as Savior. That is a day that Jerry and I remember forever. There is no greater joy than leading someone to Jesus Christ. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're spending your time on, whatever you're looking for, I want to tell you from personal experience, there is no greater joy, there is no greater fulfillment than leading someone to Christ. Get in the game. Don't let Jerry and I have all the fun. Get in the game. Spread the gospel. Be dedicated to it. Dedicate yourself right now, from this moment, from now on, for the rest of my life, no matter how many days I have, I am going to do my very best to win people to Jesus Christ. It's going to be a hard life, but I guarantee you, you will win people to Jesus, and it will be so incredibly awesome. Maybe you're here today, and you're like, what is he talking about? You've heard about Jesus before, and you thought, you know what, it works for them, but it's probably not going to work for me. I'm glad they found that, but we all got to find our own thing. I want to tell you that if you have never trusted Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, if you have never turned from sin and accepted Jesus' free gift for you, you are doomed under the wrath of God. Jesus to go to heaven. You need Jesus to go to heaven. Please come and talk to one of the elders after church and help us. Please come and talk to one of the elders after church and let us help you find forgiveness in Jesus Christ.